This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal.
Good afternoon and welcome. My name is Immigration Services Officer Meyer.
There's a place that Lazaro Carrion had been avoiding his whole life.
The Department of Homeland Security is one of those, like, you don't want to see it, you don't want to acknowledge it, you know, it's kind of like el cucuy, you know, it's taboo, don't even bring it up.
Till just a couple of weeks ago.
Please remember that you will not be a U.S. citizen unless and until you repeat the Oath of Allegiance during today's ceremony.
When he walked into the Homeland Security field office just outside Seattle to finally become a U.S. citizen, he was just shy of his 32nd birthday.
You had a lot of frustration and fear going through buildings like this, and now that I don't have to, I have to replace them with some new feelings of, like, you know, gratitude.
Thank you. You may be seated.
For a lot of immigrants in this country, the American dream starts years before they ever officially become Americans. For a lot of them, from Mexico in particular, that dream starts in the fields. Agriculture has always been an entry point for immigrants in this country, the first rung on that economic ladder. We started our two-part series on immigration and this election yesterday with farmers and workers in Washington State who've been dealing with a labor shortage for years now.
The American grower shouldn't be saddled with not being able to get enough people.
Today we cross the Cascade Mountains to Seattle to check out the second largest industry for immigrants in Washington.
We are strange bedfellows with the agricultural industry in the state.
Michael Schutzler is the CEO of a trade association that represents this state's 9,000 tech companies.
When I speak to my counterparts in the agricultural side, we see the world the same way. The immigrant workforce creates opportunity sets for the domestic workforce. It doesn't take it away. It actually creates it.
Our series with Frontline and PBS NewsHour is called How the Deck is Stacked. Tech, agriculture, and immigration all come together at a desk in an airy open office overlooking Pike Place Market in downtown Seattle. It's a desk that is all decked out in red, white, and blue.
I was pleasantly surprised when I came to the office the next day after my ceremony. My coworkers had decorated my desk with some flags.
Lazaro Carrion works for a startup called Remitly. He's a marketing manager there. But before he was that, he was called something else. Undocumented.
I'm just happy that they recognize that this is a big deal.
You are Mexican-American?
Correct.
How long have you been in this country?
About 20 years.
So you came as a kid?
Yes, 7 years old.
Tell me that story.
So I originally wanted to come to this country because I thought ice cream fell from the sky. I didn't speak any English, so my family comes from the U.S. to Mexico and visit this, and my cousins tell me, hey, nieve cae en los Estados Unidos. Nieve is the Spanish word for ice cream, so I'm thinking vanilla, chocolate. You know? So as a kid, your imagination just takes over. So I cry to my parents, and they let me come with my aunt on vacation. And soon enough, a vacation turned into a longer stay. My parents then came over, and we knew the education here was better. My sisters and I, we took our education seriously, and so that was a priority for my family, so we decided to stay.
Lazaro's parents pushed him to do well in school, and he did. So well, in fact, that he got a full scholarship to a liberal arts college in Walla Walla, Washington.
I used to be the barber on campus. I used to cut hair. Instead of charging people a fixed rate, I started taking donations.
He graduated in 2007, but without papers, he couldn't get a job.
I had a BA, and I could not find the employment that I wanted, so I decided to take matters into my own hands.
He did what he was supposed to do, apply for a visa, but that meant after spending nearly his whole life in the United States, he had to move back to Mexico and get in line.
Are your parents still alive?
My parents are still alive.
When you went to them and said, listen, I'm going to go back to Mexico, what did they say?
They thought I wasn't being serious. I've played it safe most of my life. When it came down to making that decision, I told them I bought my one-way ticket. I don't know when I'm coming back, but I'll see you when I return.
You were there for a while.
I was there for 4 years. And it was a situation where I applied for my visa, got denied, actually got barred 10 years, got a lawyer.
Say that again. You got barred from the United States for 10 years.
For 10 years, correct.
Because?
Because I was previously in this country as an undocumented immigrant.
His wait was cut short a little bit when he married his girlfriend, an American citizen, back in 2012. And when he did finally become a citizen himself a couple of weeks ago, he breathed a 20-year sigh of relief.
Definitely a good day. Definitely emotional and a little bittersweet. I was not able to have my entire family present.
To know how far he's come, it helps to know where Lazaro started, back on the other side of the Cascades, where we were yesterday in Yakima, picking apples.
I hated it. I hated it.
I was out in an orchard yesterday. Wait. Holding those apple baskets, man, around you. Those, I mean, they weighed a ton. It's hard work.
I have never purchased an apple. I'll put it that way.
Seriously.
I don't ever want to work there again.
His parents, though, are still there.
My mother is a sorter. She sorts. And my dad, he's a stacker, so that once the apples get put into the box, they make sure that they get shipped and sent out of the warehouse.
The company that Lazaro works for is called Remitly. It's a business built, interestingly enough, for immigrants.
The majority of our customer base are, you know, people who have moved thousands of miles away from their families to seek higher earning power, to seek a better life.
Matt Oppenheimer is one of the co-founders. The company has an app that lets people working here send money to their families abroad. But it's not just a business built for immigrants. It's also a business built in large part by immigrants.
I'm Shivas, one of the co-founders at Remitly.
Shivas Gulati came to the United States on a student visa.
I initially came here to finish my undergrad, went on to get my master's.
He met Matt. The two started developing Remitly. And right when they got going, Shivas went back to India to get married and sort out his visa. And then he got stuck there.
And that kind of led us into this whole immigration rat hole of how do you get someone on an immigration visa to, you know, be a co-founder and kind of start a business.
How long was your delay?
I ended up spending about 5 months in India.
Trying to run a startup here.
Yep.
How did that work?
It's thanks to Skype and you know, all the chat software we have.
Matt knew he had to do something.
He was a crucial part of the company. It's only me and him.
So he got on a plane, he flew 22 hours to Delhi, and he showed up at the American Embassy to prove that their company was legit.
Maybe the entrepreneur in me, I didn't want to give up.
After months of hearing nothing, Shivas did finally get his visa.
What would have happened if Matt hadn't gotten on a plane and gone and camped out in front of the embassy in Delhi?
Hard to say. Worst case, I would still probably be back in Delhi.
You probably wouldn't be sitting here with 100 people working for you, would you?
Probably not.
75% of the startups in our industry, funded by venture capital, are founded by immigrants. So they're the ones creating jobs for Americans.
Michael Schutzler, the trade association guy, he ought to know. His dad, a German immigrant, helped start MapQuest.
So if we want to have a really viable, successful tech ecosystem, we need to allow those immigrants who want to start companies to do so.
Remitly's Matt Oppenheimer says that in order to scale up, his company has to rely on foreign workers.
You know, the fallacy that people are taking American jobs. I mean, are close to 100 people. We have lots of open roles right now. And we have a very high bar for the talent that we
recruit. Open jobs.
Open jobs, yeah. We have lots of open jobs. We are all about hiring the best, engineers, the best product managers, the best folks out there. And I think that there's a shortage of talent like that in the United States. And so folks that, you know, are here that are on H-1Bs that help continue to grow our business, care about our customers, are perfect folks that we've been able to hire and build our team.
We have 36 countries represented here today, illustrating the astounding diversity of our new citizens.
At that Seattle Homeland Security field office, the one where Lazaro officially became an American citizen, dozens of people line up every day from all over the world.
India, Indonesia, Iran.
Originally, I'm from Hong Kong.
India.
I'm originally from Iraq.
Manzanillo, Colima, Mexico.
I was born in Kampala, Uganda.
United Kingdom, Vietnam.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me.
Finally, you know, we find home and, you know, living the dream. So, you know, we want to just be a part of this great community.
It's been a journey for about 16 and a half years for us.
I'm excited. Yeah, we're really, really excited. I have been waiting it for quite a while. And finally, it's the day today.
Congratulations, you are America's newest citizen.
Emotionally, you're having like these flashbacks of when you were a kid and, you know, like all these times that you were reminded that, no, that's not for you. No, you can't join the military. No, you can't be president one day. No, you can't qualify for FAFSA. No, 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 no. A lot of these no's. And now it's yes, 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 all these yeses. And now what are you going to do with them? And so I really can't believe that this moment has already happened. I knew it would come, but it was just beautiful.
Politicians and analysts can argue all day about why the immigration system in this country isn't working. But when you go talk to people in the immigration economy, you learn what that dysfunction actually means. Part one of our story and of our whole series, it's called How the Deck is Stacked, lives online at marketplace.org. Pictures, videos, the whole smash. Also, a quick thing I did, answering some of your questions about the American immigration economy.